remembered you. Well, she was here quite often.
To the pledge of allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call vote, please, Gloria.
It's not a vote.
Commissioner Sevilla is absent. Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Cherry?
Here.
Commissioner Maselli?
Here.
And Commissioner Gladue is absent.
3 out of 5, we have a quorum. Item D, alteration to the agenda. Does anyone have any alterations they wish to make to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to point out that I gave you guys some communications that I received from Heller McCoy, the representation of a potential development. Attorney McCoy is here to speak to that, and perhaps after, you know, we could, to G, we can give him a little latitude to do his presentation.
We could probably drop that under new business item 4.
No, it's just remarks from the public. He's just doing a presentation. There's no,
business.
Yeah, just if that's okay with you, Counselor.
That's fine.
So we'll do that when?
Just under remarks. I'm just asking to waive the 3-minute limit
okay.
for his presentation if it needs longer than that.
Sorry. Under G.
Okay. Okay. Any other alterations to the agenda?
Excuse me.
Hearing none, item E, motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of March 2nd, 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstains? Motion carries. Item F, communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any other communications to be relayed? Any other communications? Hearing none, item F. Remarks from the public regarding items from the agenda with a 3-minute limit. The 3-minute limit will be waived. You're up.
Thank you. Attorney William McCoy from Heller McCoy. We provided to the WPCA.
Would you speak closer to the microphone, please?
Sure.
Thank
Is
you.
That okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the crowd in the back can hear you, so.
This concerns a proposed residential development at 320 Maple Avenue in Montville, Connecticut. The applicant is KANG, and they are the contract. They have a contract with John Crowley and Lynette Crowley for the property of that location. They're proposing a 250-unit manufactured housing development in that location. You should have received, although it's not on your agenda tonight, a letter by David Held, who's the engineer for this project, and he is indicating a gallons per day allocation for 56,250 gallons per day based upon water usage for 250 units and 3-bedroom units. I should indicate to you that it is possible that some of those units will not be 3-bedroom units. They may be 2-bedroom units, but we've erred on the side of caution with respect to the request in the application. The sanitary sewer can be accessed either from Maple Avenue or from Maple Avenue or Gay Hill Road. Just depending on the desire of the commission as to where you want to come in at with respect to sewer if it's approved. The purpose of my presentation tonight is that we're looking for a 2-year allocation hold, if you will, because it's going to take that long to produce this development as well as do the engineering approvals and get the financing together. We believe that the capacity is there with respect to waste treatment. We believe further that the capacity is there for the water. The question, I think, for review is going to be the capacity of the service lines for sewer in that area. And it's my understanding in my discussions with Mr. McDaniel that it's likely you're going to simply review this through engineering counsel, and it'll be on your agenda for next month. I'm here to field any questions you have about this at this time.
Have any questions?
No, really.
No, I wasn't aware of this at all, so.
I wasn't either.
Has this been approved yet, or are you're doing the preliminary to go through this?
We're doing the preliminary. We provided you the data, and in fact, what you'll end up with at your next meeting is a conceptual site plan for this project as well. Again, we wanted to give you calculations with respect to what we believe the yields are going to be and the requirements are going to be, so you can be fully prepared for that for the next meeting.
Is this land zoned residential already, or is this part of the land that was commercial that's going to get changed for residential?
This is currently commercial. I'm sorry, currently residential.
Okay.
Mr. Administrator, have you...
Yeah, I can tell you that. I spoke with Councilor McCoy today. Because we had so many projects coming down through planning and zoning, you've all read the paper, we had that 1,000 unit. And planning and zoning is aware of this development. It is part of their calculations when they asked us to calculate what the capacity is for both water and sewer at the plant. There was so much going on and so much movement that we didn't have the capacity, our capacity, not the sewer plant capacity or the water capacity, our personal human capacity to get those calculations ready in a timely manner for us to be able to answer those questions tonight. Further, I'm not aware in the past that the Montville WPCA has reserved allocations as other towns have in the past, which is a fine thing to do, and I get why the developer would like to see that, because it guarantees them some ability to go get financing and make sure that, you know, things are in place so that they can do their proper due diligence. So we need a little more time to review it. So Attorney McCoy understood. We had a conversation this afternoon about that.
So this will be on like next month's agenda?
Yeah, I think we'll certainly be able to get that on next month's
agenda. For example, the town of East Lyme has run into problems where they have essentially committed to projects which get delayed, and it makes it very difficult from a planning perspective for the towns to deal with these projects because you don't know what's coming online or when it's coming online. And so the plan here is to try and keep you fully informed of what we're doing so that you can make plans yourselves as a community.
Okay. So basically not this meeting, next meeting we'll vote to give, like, reserve a certain amount of water for them. So like if some other company comes in and say, hey, I want to build something else, they were like, well, you got to wait in line or you can't.
That's the procedure, Commissioner. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. Okay. Then it'll be up to you guys whether you say yay or nay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your determination in terms of planning can be better done that way as opposed to something coming in after the fact and then you don't know what's coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Superintendent, do you have anything to add?
We would have our engineer look at it to make sure the receiving pipe had the capacity to have that kind of...
That's correct. And in fact, we were going to expect that to occur even if we'd been on the agenda tonight too. Yes.
Any other questions on the commissioners? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your understanding and patience.
Yeah, we'll get
it. Any other remarks from the public? Any other remarks from the public? Third final call. Any other remarks from the public? Hearing none, item H, report from operations. Mr. Superintendent.
Thank you. Derek Albertson, Superintendent. Couple things. We had some struggles in January and February with process control, but we've showed in March, and particularly late March, a significant improvement. We had a significant improvement in both our two main adversaries in treating wastewater, the BOD and the TSS. We also had 25% of the days in March where we had no sludge trucks taken off site. And we had five less trucks this year as compared to last year. It's about $6,000. So the team should be commended. 25% of the days in March we had no trucks leaving the plant. I'm meeting with Rand Whitney, their chemist, tomorrow to look towards improving our sludge thickening. The administrator and I were talking before the meeting. We've looked into this in the past, various techniques, but we're going to try it again. During the month of March, we had, of act of God, a line break where we had 10% more sand coming into our grit degritting operation. It was alarming. We were concerned because we also were having a lot of flow associated with the snow melt and the heavy rains. So we had a very quick response to that. We did an overnight flow study. We identified two manholes that were giving us trouble, allowing a lot of groundwater to come into the system. Those two manholes were repaired. We have two manholes that are being repaired this week along Route 32 that are also allowing infiltration. We are looking into having extensive cammering on some of the large trunk lines coming down 163 to further investigate where this sand is coming in. But that's everything I have.
So what's the percentage of the sand we are still getting?
Right now, because the flows have dropped off, we are having the same amount, the normal amount of sand.
A normal amount. Okay.
So I think it was a combination of there has to be a line break. I have to commend the team again. We've pulled about 150 manholes. We cammered everything and inspected everywhere. We did individual studies at the 24 pump stations to review excess pumping. Ron and I looked at the electrical demand for each of the pump stations to see if it was abnormal. And we couldn't find anything. So that tells us a couple things. One, it's not way out in the system. It's closer to the plant. It's somewhere either on the plant property or right adjacent to it on Pink Row or Route 163.
Questions for the administrator, for the superintendent? Okay. Moving on to item I, report from the administration.
Just to reiterate, the team, particularly Derek, has put in superhuman efforts to find out what's going on with the inflow and infiltration to the plant. I mean, it's been incredible flow that we had. It's dropped off now. Hopefully we don't get serious heavy rains, although we're in rainy season now, right? So, you know, we don't know if it was just a big flush that came down the line that gave us all that sand. Hopefully, maybe that's all that it was, and this is a one-time anomaly event. In any event, most of what we've been doing the last month has been working with planning and zoning or the land use department on all the upcoming projects that are going on. And, you know, there was like 2,500-plus units, you know, either approved in development or in discussion stages for the town. We can knock off a big project for the time being. But who knows? I mean, that project is still on the drawing board. It's just a matter of the state's not going to provide any financing for it at this point, from what we understand. We're still waiting to get the three-phase power up at the Cook Tower, but everything is running very, very well up there. The new accountant, she's doing well. She's been an asset to the team, and she continues to learn and grow in the position. It's a very complicated utility billing system that we have between using Munis, the Neptune billing, and how they interact to get things out. I've been there 2 years now, and I'm still fumbling with it myself. The two manholes, as Superintendent mentioned, will begin tomorrow. We sent notification out early today for early warning of that beginning tomorrow. So those are going to involve two bypasses because they're very, very large lines that take a lot of flow. So we're going to be doing two different bypasses. So it's a complicated repair. So that's going to be going on between Tuesday and Friday, 7 to 4:30.
Where is that?
up in the area of Fort Shantok. So one's going to be right at the intersection of Fort Shantok and 32. Then it's the next manhole down from that location. So those two manholes, as we were doing the manhole repairs for after the Route 32 paving project, we discovered that those two were in major collapse, danger collapse.
This was what we talked about at the last meeting then.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And then after that, we found two more with the infiltration that they did a injectable grout, basically, that they stick in there. It came out incredible. So that really stopped a lot of water from coming. And it looked like a couple of garden hoses coming in from around the pipes. It was a lot of water coming in. Other than that, there's two other things for action items tonight. One is the sewer rate increase, which we will discuss, which is an action item, and the budgets for tonight.
May I add?
Please.
This is Superintendent. Very quickly, we did get the draft report for the nitrogen removal credits from the state of Connecticut, and Montville had what they're trying to do is reduce the amount of nitrogen that goes out to the Sound, and we're under a general permit or a state permit and we're required to remove nitrogen from our effluent. And we had a 50% removal rate, efficiency rate, and that's very high, one of the highest in the state. So we're very happy about that. Understanding that, nitrogen removal is one of the best indicators of overall process at a plant. And we're consistently doing well with process and nitrogen removal. So we actually sell those credits. It used to be quite a lot of money because it was subsidized by the state of Connecticut, but right now it's not subsidized. But we still sell the credits, and we've sold those for quite a while. So compliments to the team in that regard. So the whole year, the average. Our loading is 118 pounds per day, and we were 50% off of that. So very happy.
Any questions?
Just one, and it's just kind of a general question. So in talking about these units, the number of units that we see of development, possible development coming to Montville, impact our sewer system, not worrying about the water side, worrying about the sewer side. Our plan is kind of landlocked in there, correct? We don't really have a lot of room to work. If we need to expand, how do we expand?
We have some room to expand, Commissioner. It would be costly, obviously, but there's room on the property for us to. If we had two SBRs, I think there's physical room to do it.
So we do have the space then.
But it would mean there would be a lot of piping challenges and things like that. But yeah, I think
how long does that whole process take? So you say we look at some of these developments that come in and say we need to increase our capacity. How long do we?
From planning engineering to getting online?
Yep.
A couple of years easy.
From planning to fruition to completion?
Yep.
And then just to add to this discussion, one of the reasons we're kind of ferocious about chasing down these manholes or pipes that are leaking is it's taking up that capacity. And it's a cheaper
way. Where are we
at
capacity right now, roughly, would you say, and percentage-wise?
We're about, based on, if we have dry conditions like in 2025, we're about 60% of our permit.
60.
But if we run into what we saw, in March, particularly early March with the snow and the rain, we really match up. We're
really,
really close. Yeah. So we're one of
you
those.
You max out?
We almost max out on days because we just have so much water coming into the system. Those two manholes that they repaired already, and these two manholes, we're hoping, under extreme wet conditions, maybe 200,000, 300,000 a day.
Could have been, yep.
And that's a lot of water. It frees up the capacity, but it's also empty water. We spend a lot of money treating storm
clean water. Yeah,
it's just.
This was like spring water coming in. We're paying to treat spring water, basically.
And we routinely have inspections of our pipe. Per standard, we do about 20% of our pipe 62 miles a year. I mean, 20% of 62 miles we clean, and 10% of those 62 miles we camera. And then they inspect manholes constantly. But these are typically dry conditions. And 2025 was very dry. So
Yeah, but if we end up with a wet, like a wet March, and let's say more months in a row like that, and we'll say we add on 250 unit housing development. Now, what happens if we go beyond?
Other
than being fined.
We would not, you know, they build an engineering, you know, like a control into it to go over your allotment is, but it's not a safe bet. You really should stay under what the engineers say is appropriate for the treatment system. So we have to find as much of this infiltration as possible. So one last comment I want to make is we did have Dukes come in, a company that we are potentially going to subcontract to do cameraing of our larger lines, like 24, 30, and 36-inch lines, which our camera system won't handle. And they were very complimentary of our team, particularly the work we've done on the GIS. And the salesperson, the rep for New England, said this was the best representation of the GIS he'd seen. So that was a significant compliment for our collections team. So,
if I may add one more thing, this is the Administrator McDaniel. There are kind of two different capacities we're talking about, okay? One is, what is our contractual obligations to our big users, and then what's actually going on. So what's actually going on is we probably have some room, but when you factor in what our contractual obligations are, it kind of limits us as to what we're able to allocate out to others. So we're still working through those. So we know what our contractual obligations are, and we know what the plant capacity is rated for. It's that municipal delta that we're using now with what the town actually uses and what we're getting through, you know, inflow and infiltration, you know, just extra water into the system that isn't really coming from people's.
What percentage of our actual capacity is our contracted obligations?
Over two-thirds.
Okay.
So all these developments that are in the works, they can't, not all of them can go through just because we don't have capacity for them.
I don't think it's appropriate to answer that at this time, Commissioner, because, again, we keep looking at it, and it's changing every day. So what's coming in?
But you got to go by whatever the max is. Like every March, April, we get a lot of rain. You can't say, well, June through February, it's fine, and then March and April, it's not. Am I right? You got to go by where your max is.
Right. But in 2024 was a disaster. We had in the spring was the wettest spring on record for Connecticut. But 2025 was a very good year. So we kind of, you know, we thought the system was tighter than it is. But when the water table comes up that quickly, yeah, it poses a real problem for defining capacity. That's what we're working on now. And we worked very hard with Dennis Goodyear as far as giving him numbers. And we're going to meet with him this week to sharpen our pencils and give him an idea.
Should we be planning an expansion? I mean, we have a lot. It seems like we're becoming a popular place for developers to come to. So,
yeah, I think,
is it something we should maybe start thinking about, at least getting some preliminary?
So I've always said this. If you don't have the infrastructure, they will not come. Mm-hmm. So whether we figure out what we're going to need to expand the plant for whatever future development needs the town wants, you have the new bills that are coming down from the state that are forcing you to put in sewers in areas where they've never been before. But then by the same plan of conservation and development, you have sewer avoidance areas that are in watersheds and things. So, again, you know, it's a lot of planning, and it's a very costly infrastructure. I mean, no question about that. But, I think personally, yeah, I think the planning needs to be started now, because even if it doesn't happen until 5 years from now that it actually goes online, now's the time to think about it and start thinking about what you're going to need to bond it, and costs are not going down.
I agree.
Any other questions? Is the town responsible for all that funding of all that?
Yes. On the sewer side, yes. And then when it goes by people's homes, they buy into it, and that's what's supposed to pay it back. On the water side, it's really the town is supposed to fund all of the water and expansion.
There's no state money available.
There's state money for water, but there hasn't really been for sewer, unless you get a specific grant or a bonding issue from the state. But there's the Clean Water Fund that, you know, comes from, you know, EPA down through the DPH. So there's usually a lot of money for clean water. But not, hasn't been so much on the treatment side.
Any other questions?
Item J, report from the mayor. Mr. Mayor.
So to the administrator and the superintendent's point, the importance of the plan of development is essential to determining our plan. And we do have some funding for that from some grants from the state to get that started, and to assist Dennis Goodyear from the Land Use Department to create this and update, revise our plan so that we know where we're going and assist in establishing what we need. So I want to commend the administrator and the superintendent for the work they've been doing, because there's been a lot thrown at them lately, and we've all seen it. A lot of possible things, and it's just, they're all just possible, because nothing is concrete yet. Even the presentation from Heller and McCoy, that's a plan, and it's up to the treatment plant to determine if they can handle it or not. So that takes a while. And now you throw everything out of the daily work, they're doing all the infiltration work, and there's a lot going on there, and nothing's going to happen overnight. But I think they're doing a great job, and I do appreciate them. I want to welcome our new accountant on board, Cynthia Thompson. I think she's going to do a great job, and I think all the jockeying around and hit and miss we've been doing is to our benefit, because we've got somebody that's halfway decent and is going to do a good job, and everybody's really, really high on her. I need to announce today that some of you are already aware that we implemented a spending freeze beginning today for non-essential spending. It's to limit our essential services, and it's like, for example, the service orders that are not critical to daily operation. We want to try to curb our overtime, and we're looking at this budget here because of the spiraling costs for overtime and everything else that's associated with the growth of the products, and what the costs are today is really affecting us pretty severely. So this is just an attempt to get a better grip on and spend only what we need to spend while we work on the next year's budget, which is another story in itself. And that brings us right into the on the agenda, the rate increases. Nobody wants to see rate increases, but it's probably been more than 10 years since the treatment plant has seen a rate increase, and before that, they even lowered it. Now, that's unheard of, but they did it, and it was effective, but now they've been working towards this deficit that they're dealing with, and the only way you're going to get it, and you got to throw out that percentage increase. You know, nobody likes to talk to hear large percentages, but percentages isn't something that we need to weigh in on today, because it's about the cost, the total cost, and that's what the increases are about. And that, again, is unfortunate, but I do support it. That's about it. Any questions?
Any questions for the mayor? More to the general direction of the recent conversation, I'll let everyone know that last week I spent a couple of hours in the town planner's office
going, you know, just bringing myself up to speed on everything that's going on. Basically, we're in the process of looking forward to what the expansion needs will be over the next 50 years for this town. We're in the very preliminary stages of that. There's a lot of possibilities on the horizon, people trying to do this, trying to do that. I'll speak more to it in item N, but to your question about planning ahead, we are. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Report from engineers.
This is Superintendent. First of all, Mr. Mayor, thank you for your kind words. Much appreciated. And the engineering discussion is based on the proposed development. One of the things Ron and I have been talking about a lot is, you know, EB has proposed 8,000 or more jobs, and Montville is close to EB, and there's proposed residential development to support EB and bedroom community for that large complex that's hiring so many people. This potential 250-unit manufactured home development and others are forcing us to have a sit down and really talk to the planning group about what can we do. And the chairman mentioned is not only what can we do now, what can we do 5, 10, 15, 50 years down the road. The best thing we can do as far as expanding capacity is to control non-sewer water that gets into our system. And we've been doing that since, with our collections guys. They've hit their numbers for the year, and in fact, they're ahead of their numbers. And so we'll do everything we can to use what we have to maximize capacity. But also, the administrator brought up a very good point. We do have contractual agreements, both on the water side and the sewer side, that does swallow up some of this. You know, how stringent these controls are, we don't, you know, we will have to discuss further. But that's another control mechanism on our capacity. But right now, we're in good shape. We're chasing some leaky pipes and leaky manholes. We're going to have 4 manholes completed by the end of the week. Another great project that's coming up is the paving. They're going to dig out the manholes on Route 32. So that's kind of a freebie for us in the sense, we pay for the raising of the manholes, but it offers an inspection of all these manholes that typically it would be very difficult for us to get our eyes on. And our subcontractor, Prime Electric, has been extremely helpful. They know manholes. They know when one looks sketchy, and they'll give us a call so we can jump on it right away. That's all I have.
Questions for the engineering? Item L, old business, we have none. Item M, under new business, we have 3 items. The first is to consider an act on the fiscal year 2027 sewer capital improvement plan. Would you please speak to that?
Certainly. This is Administrator McDaniel. So we basically didn't put anything into a water capital improvement plan. We went through what we thought our biggest capital needs are, knowing that the constraints that we have financially, a lot of this we kind of pushed off into looking for other sources of funding, either town bonding or state bonding or grant money. So we've tried to color code that in the mapping that chart that we sent out. For instance, like the Avery 1, which is the top line, Avery 1 pump station upgrade, that's a critical upgrade. And that was kind of rolled into part of that Massapequa development. We were hoping to get, you know, a third party to pay for that, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen now, so we're going to have to chase that in a different manner. But basically, with the projects that we think that we need to get done, we came up with, we cut it down to about a $700,000 total for this year.
Okay, questions? Rick?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the capital improvement plan in the amount of $700,000. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Item two, to consider an act on the fiscal year 2027 sewer budget.
So once again, we basically looked at the last 3 years and the 8 months prior for this fiscal year. There were some holes in what we had because we were lacking an accountant for 8 months of this fiscal year. But we're kind of pretty confident in the numbers that we have for the projected end of year. So on the revenue side, we cut that back a little bit based on what the actuals are coming in at, so as to not to overstate our projected revenues. And our expenses, again, we're watching every penny. I mean, we're just like the town is, you know, we're very frugal, and everybody will tell you that. I scream when everybody spends money down there, and not a person down there won't tell you that. So this is our best estimate as to what we have. We're still in a deficit mode. We're still going to be using some of our savings, but we're also hopeful that we didn't put a lot in connection fees, which we were supposed to get all these projects and connection fees, which really helps us support the operations on the sewer side, because that buys into the system and the infrastructure that's already there and being paid for and maintained. So hopefully we'll see a lot of that start to come to fruition this fiscal year that we thought was going to happen last fiscal year. And if there's any individual line item questions that you may have, it's there's a lot there. The actual numbers for payroll and insurance and benefits actually came from the finance department, so we're pretty solid on those numbers. We did factor in a new employee who's an existing employee, but we hope to bring full-time on board in July in this new budget. Will Dudley, who's been with
student?
Us. Yeah, Will, who's been with us.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. So we did budget for him in the personnel figures. So right now, his position description is being considered by the Town Administration Rules and Procedures Committee towards the end of this month, and I'll be there to talk to that.
Okay. Questions?
One question on the like miscellaneous permits. When people apply for, they need a permit from the WPCA. How do we set those fees?
Those fees were set in our last rate increase when we went through everything on the water side. The sewer side, actually, we didn't do anything on the sewer side on those fees. And there's very little that comes in on the miscellaneous permit.
Yeah, I see we all have really little bit of money.
Yeah. It's pretty much like when they're application fees that come in before their connection. So, you know, it's a $35 application fee before your connection fee.
Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to pass the fiscal year 2027 sewer budget. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli?
Favor.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to item three, to consider an act on a motion to revise the sewer rates. Administrator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to make the motion first before I discuss it. This is just to set the public hearing date for the sewer rates. We're way behind on our sewer rates compared to usage rates compared to other communities of like size and in our geographical area. I did provide a chart in the package. So my suggestion was to, in trying to ease the pain of an increase a little bit, was to do it in 6-month increments. In discussions with the chairman last week, there was a thought that perhaps we just do it in one lump sum and do it as of July 1st as a $20 increase instead of going $10 and $10. But that will be up to the commission on how they want to handle that. But at this point, this was just to set the public hearing date for a sewer rate increase.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to set the public hearing date to be May 4th, 2026 at 5:45 in the evening before the May WPCA meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
If it's between 10 and 10, I think if we just do, my opinion would just be $20 instead of, if you say 12.5%, it seems more. If you just say $20 one time, it doesn't seem as much. That's just my opinion.
And I'd be more than happy to leave the percentage out. I just did it that way. Not everybody's just a quarterly user, so this will affect our commercial users as well. Mm-hmm. So their rates will increase, at the same percentage. So I just wanted people to be aware of that. I wanted to be transparent about that.
So their rates would be more than $20 up.
Well, we could put the percentage, but just say an average of a residential of $20 or something.
Well, it would be a 25% increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
25% increase.
But 25% seems like a lot, but if you say $20, it doesn't seem like a lot. That's just my opinion.
I'll find a way to write the motion that will incorporate the commercial users. Listen, I've been around the block a couple times. I get the optics.
Yeah.
I'll certainly find a way to write the motion up so that the commercial end is proper as well, even if I just have to set a rate per gallon rate, which is easy enough too.
Okay,
but because they're based on a per gallon rate.
All we're doing tonight is setting the date for the public hearing. Any other comments? All in favor? Set the motion first. Is there a motion to set the date?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor.
But you need to change it to say, to $20 and the commercial equivalent thereof, so that I can put that in the public notice, because this has to go into the paper and all of that. So,
may I advise your motion?
Yeah, let me write this real quick. For surge rates, we're going to do as follows. With your permission, sir, I'll read the motion, and if that's okay?
Yes.
So the Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to set the date of May 4th, 2026, 5:45 p.m. for a public hearing regarding the proposed sewage rate schedule as follows: residential rate from $80 to $100 and equivalent rate increase for commercial users. The public hearing to be held at the Montville Town Hall Council Chambers.
Sounds good.
Secretary, I'll write that up and send that to you tomorrow.
As he stated.
I'll make the motion as read by the administrator.
Is there a
second?
Okay. Any discussion?
Okay.
No. Okay. Any discussion? No. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Do we need a roll call?
Needs a roll call vote?
You're just setting a public hearing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a public hearing. Motion carries. Thank you. Now, item 11, or
N.
N. Report referrals from planning and zoning. It was an interesting. We had a special meeting last Tuesday. It was an interesting meeting. We were discussing the housing unit proposal up off Massapequa up by Shantok, and the leadership of the WPCA met with the planning leadership, and I think that you were there, Mr. Mayor. Were you there? Okay. In any case, they met with the developers, and there was an awful lot of unanswered questions. The developers were looking for some kind of a commitment from the town so that they could then go to the state to see about funding, what they were asking for would have been committing the town, and the Planning and Zoning Commission was unwilling to commit the town with so many open questions.
Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes.
I was in the audience.
And so the attorney who was making the presentation did mention exactly what the superintendent mentioned, that Electric Boat is going to be adding 8,000 jobs. All right, and that so we're looking to be able to house those people. What the attorney failed to mention is that of those 8,000 jobs, half of those are going to Quonset Point and Rhode Island. And he also failed to mention that New London is also planning to build a very large housing development to work towards new employees. My biggest takeaway from that was to be careful about what the attorneys tell you when they have something in there, you know, something that they want from you. They will tell you the truth, but they won't tell you the whole truth. You have to pay attention and ask questions. And they didn't want to answer our question, so we did not give them the commitment that they wanted. And that's my report from planning and zoning. Any questions?
I think that's interesting that it's only 4,000, because it's the way everything I've ever heard, it's 8,000. Yeah. Mostly like to the mall and grow.
It's a true statement. Electric Boat is hiring 8,000 people, but they're not all going to Groton. Mm-hmm. You know, so do we need to develop housing? Yes, we do. You know, but we need to do it knowing the whole story, not just half the story. Mm-hmm. Because we can't plan to provide housing for 8,000 people, you know, 8,000 people with their families, when there's only going to be maybe three. You know, that the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission did not appreciate that omission. And we made that clear to the attorney.
Well, how did you find that out?
By talking to people at Electric Boat. Mm. So. Any other questions? Okay. Moving on then to next item, Water Commission. Report from Operations on Water Commission.
No information to report at this time. The water supply has been functioning properly. Obviously, during the operations each month, the administrator and myself will review the purchased water from Groton Utilities, and we compare that to last year at this time. And the administrator actually breaks it down to the micro level. He looks at each meter and can understand whether or not there's been a sudden increase in demand, which at times can point to a leaky toilet, or it could be something far worse. But based on the Groton Utility purchased water for the month of March, we saw no anomalies. So we're purchasing typically the same amount of water.
Questions for operations? Report from the administrator.
I really don't have anything more to add besides what Superintendent Albertson has said. Yeah, we just continue to look for doing water audits and making sure that the billing's getting done right. There were some things that we weren't billing for. We weren't billing for private fire hydrants before. So we identified a number of those that we are now billing for properly. They were, I don't know if they got missed by former accountant or when we changed over systems, but for years, some of those were not getting billed for. So we've got them back active.
Explain that.
So there are certain properties, a couple of the hotels, the tribal elderly housing project that have private hydrants on their property. And so we bill them to maintain those. They're responsible for the maintenance, anything that kind of busts on them, but we charge them for the maintenance of those and flushing and that kind of thing.
Okay. You had a question?
It's a nominal charge, but it's income, and we're doing the work, so we should get paid for it.
Right.
Anything else? Reports from engineers?
Just briefly, a compliment to the chief water operator and the assistant chief operator. When the engineer came on board to meet with us and discuss this originally, it was a 1,000-unit residential development. And then it went down to like 875. But they talked about a pressure issue at Dairy Hill. And it's a testament to their knowledge of the system. They're so well acquainted with it. They identified an area that would potentially have a low-pressure environment that wouldn't be consistent with normal functioning. And they were right. You know, that's how close they are. So the engineer was very complimentary to them and to the WPCA about the water operators. He went back and did the math, and he's like, yeah, they're right. But they knew it like that. So it was pretty amazing.
Questions for operations for the engineers? Nope. Old business, we have none. New business, item one, to consider an act on the fiscal year 2027 water budget. Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to approve the budget for the water supply for fiscal year 2025-2026 in the amount of $1,609,808. Will someone make that motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Item F, report from SQUAW. There was no meeting of SQUAW this past month, so there's nothing to report.
Mr. Chairman, I will just point out that we got a call for a curb cap over in the Lathrop development that had been plowed up during the winter, snow removal activities. It wasn't ours. It was a SQUAW unit, but they called us. We did respond. We went out there. We put it in place, explained it to the homeowner, and did contact SQUAW so that they could follow up with that. So we do maintain a good relationship with Josh over at SQUAW.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Just one more thing. I would just point out that the water budget, I know the councilor, Sebelia, is not here, but that does need to go to the town council for approval. So I will forward that to Councilor May for the town council agenda, because they have to approve the water budget.
All right. Thank you. Section 3, remarks. Any remarks from the public with regard with a 3-minute time limit? Any remarks from the public? Final remarks
nothing.
From the public? Hearing none.
You sat there
Item
so
B, remarks from commission members. Dean.
One question. Ron, what's with if we what Attorney McCoy was asking us to do is to give him a two-year commitment. That, so how does that really affect us? I realize that we've never done that before as a town, but other towns do that. So we're basically, if this project doesn't go through, we're locked into this contract for 2 years unless they back out of it, right?
Correct. So if we say we had, you know, just throw a number, $100,000 worth of capacity left over, and they're looking for 50 of it, and they lock that up for 2 years, there's only 50 that we can allocate to any other project, even though this thing may never ever come to fruition until that two-year clock runs.
So the problem with that is if somebody has a project that's, let's quote-unquote, like shovel-ready, or is fairly ready to move on something fairly quickly, if we give them this allocation and we move to approve another plan, that's going to, let's say, increase our capacity, and that's going to bump them. So we end up denying a viable project while we're waiting for this to get approved.
Or in essence, that could certainly happen. That's certainly a possibility, yep.
And so the other projects, they didn't come and ask for this. So hypothetically, even if they were farther along, this, if we gave this guy approval, he would jump to the front of the line.
Pretty much.
Correct. To my knowledge, there is no other entity that has a guarantee of usage of any of our capacity right now.
Well, what would happen if we didn't give anybody approval?
That's the wild, wild west. Come first served. Until you hit your limit.
But if we didn't give anybody approval, then they came to us, like, how would we determine? We would just pick one? Or would it be, like, who came first, or?
Essentially, I guess whoever gets into the ground first. That's why it really makes sense to kind of do it that way, but I see the upside and the downside of it.
Yeah, there's an up and down.
So there's really no, unless we wanted this one over another one to give him approval.
That's why you guys get the big bucks, right? So it would have to go through the planning process, the approval process, and the town council endorses it.
Yeah.
But then you guys are the ones who are going to decide who gets that capacity.
So it seems to benefit the developer, and I don't see where the benefit is to us.
Well, the benefit would be, you want this plan that's regular houses, or do you want that other plan that's low-income houses?
Yeah, but if we give this guy this approval, if we say, okay, we're going to give you a two-year option to come through with this, then we have to deny somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, do you? Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. Do you, if you are pro or are against the low-income housing versus the regular housing, what do you think is better for the town? And then there's a third one, isn't there? There's another one.
The high density?
I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's something we got to really discuss at the next meeting, just before we.
Yeah, there's a
do
high
that.
Density option.
We have to get busy with the planning group and get some numbers on the table for them. You know, defining the capacity. So we have a starting position, and we're working on that.
Increasing our capacity is going to be expensive. We need to pursue grants from the state for that, because it's beyond our financial capability to carry that nut ourselves.
We've had preliminary discussions with the engineers about not, you know, with increasing loading to the plant. That's one thing, but the hydraulic loading or the flow, we're starting to have conversations with them now about ways to use existing infrastructure to get what we need.
I have a question. If projects like the one that we talked about up on Massapequa were to go through, we would have to increase our capacity from Groton. Would that entail a supplementary line across the river?
No, we can still. I mean, if you look at, we're allowed to take 1.96 million gallons
a
day.
Taking how much?
We're taking like 0.4.
1.4?
No, just 0.4.
Just 0.4.
Yeah, we're taking far
and
less.
And we can take 1.6.
1.96.
1.96.
But we have contractual agreements with Mattoa and Rand Whitney and Department of Corrections and SQUAW.
Right. And we need to work to our contractual agreements, not to actuals that are lower.
That's right. And then,
so those need to be looked at, too. So right. we may need to talk to our partners that we have contracts with and say, hey, you know what? We know that you're allocated this much, but you're not using nearly that. Maybe, you know, that some of that capacity we can free up to.
Okay.
If one of these housing developments goes through, does that go into the obligated category? The contractually obligated category?
Well, it goes into the municipal pot.
So, serve town, what we serve the town proper, which is about a third, typically a third of the influence to the treatment plan is the town. A third is Rand Whitney, and a third is the casino. It kind of oscillates depending on the season, but.
So the two of them together will even out at two-thirds.
Yeah, but like during.
And that's on the sewer side. On the water side, it's the tribe, Department of Corrections, and SQUAW. Those are our three contracts that we actually have.
Yeah.
But of course, we need to service our municipal customers. I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Okay. Yeah. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:05.
What time's the game start?
8:50.
On its face, I
would. Okay.
I don't approve of the